apart. Because I got one announcement that I want to make this morning. Miss Pinky has had several heart procedures, some other things that she's had in her life in the past week or so. And she wants to report that she's doing well, quite well. She thanks you for your prayers and for your thoughts and your letters and your cards that you've sent her. She is here this morning. She's front row. And so we're excited about it. I want you to say something to yourself, just in your inside voice or your inside ears can hear it. Jesus loves me. I don't know what else you're telling yourselves these days, but I wanted you to tell yourself this morning something that's absolute truth. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Your head is telling you a lot of different things. And maybe it's truth and maybe it's not truth, but that's one thing that's absolute truth this morning, that Jesus loves you, that God is still on the throne, that God is still working. Even if I don't see it, He's working. Even if I don't feel it, He's working, because He's always working. We're joining together just to unleash God's word. I miss the worship team. We have some worship. It's just not the same without David and Tobin and all the other singers to come up and lead us. Maybe we'll move into that some Sunday, but I miss that. So we play some. We've worshiped on our way here this morning. We're just going to pray, and we're going to unleash God's word this morning among us. And I'll try to be a little shorter than I was last week so I don't kill your batteries again. So we had a couple of people with dead batteries last week, and I just said that's a great sign that the preacher's going too long. So hopefully, feel free if you need to start your vehicle this morning to charge your battery, but I want to be charged. I want God to charge our batteries as we're here together this morning. So let me pray, and then we're just going to unleash God's word this morning, and then we're going to release ourselves into the kingdom that God is working in around us. Just so you know, if you didn't know, another announcement. You can get the sermon notes. They're on our Facebook. They've been posted right now on a PDF file. You can bring it up on your phone if you want to. It's the same. It's on the paper. But if you want it on your phone, we thought it would be handy to have it on your phone as well. So you can get that. It's been uploaded as of about 15, 20 minutes ago. So you can get that and have it on your phone if you want to. Let me pray this morning, and then we're going to unleash God's word. Father God, thank you for this morning. And again, I got to say thank you for another sunshine morning. And Lord, I know that no matter what, we're going to meet. I know if I'm sitting out here in the rain, we're going to meet. But I know that I really appreciate sunshine. I really appreciate this weather that we're having. So thank you for that, for this moment this morning. And Father, we're here this morning just to say thank you, God, and to say thank you for working in our lives, and to say thank you for the absolute truth that Jesus loves me. That God, you are still working, even if we don't see it every moment, even if we don't feel it every moment, because you're always working. There's never a moment of any day, of any night that you're not working. You minister to us in the morning and in the evening and during the night, because you're always working. So thank you, God, for being a God who is tireless, who is infinite, who is all love and grace and mercy. Thank you for being a just and a holy God. Thank you for being a God who didn't just speak creation into existence and then just let it go, but you're interacting with your creation every single day. Every single moment. Thank you for that this morning. And Father, I thank you that we can be here together. And Lord, I pray again for those that might be traveling by, wondering what in the world are those crazy people doing. And Father, may you just speak to them as they drive by, all the way from the old 220 to clear to 99 this morning. And may you be glorified and honored today as we've gathered. In Jesus' name, amen. Words that I have known for several years, many, many years, some words you hear on a regular basis, some words you don't. And then all of a sudden you go through a season where you seem to hear the words, a choice of words that are very prevalent for the season. And we're in a season where there's words that I knew from the past, but I've heard them thousands of times in the last month or 5-6 weeks. And I've heard words like virus. I knew what that was, but I've heard it over and over and over in the past few weeks. I've heard quarantine. I've heard mask. I've heard things like social distancing. I've heard things like flattening the curve and pandemic. They seem to be, every time I read anything, it's something, those words, a combination of those words are combined in that reading of some sort. Words that I knew, but words that have come to the surface in our society. And one of those words that I've heard over and over in the past few weeks was normal. And normal, and the normal means conforming to unusual standard or type, and or a person who is conventional, usual, regular, typical. You know what I've heard is I just want things to be normal. I want to go back to normal. And really, when I thought about that, I was really, is that what I want? Do I want to just live a normal life? Is I just want to be normal? Do I just want to be typical? Am I just really saying I just want to conform to a usual standard of life and be a regular person doing typical things? Is that really what I want? Do I want just things to go back to normal? Do I just want things to go back to, I just want to conform to a usual standard of life, to be a regular person, to do typical things? And as I processed that in the past few weeks, I asked myself, I wonder if Noah ever wondered that. I wonder if Noah was saying, I wonder what is normal. Can I just do typical things? Is that my goal in life? Is just to be a typical person doing typical things? I wonder if Moses felt that way at times in his life. I wonder if he just said, I want to be a typical person. And I wonder if David, and he is a shepherd and a warrior and a king. I wonder about Amos, who had been called out of the southern part of the kingdom into the northern part of the kingdom to be a prophet, from a farmer to a prophet. I wonder if he ever wrestled with, I just want to be a typical person. I just want to do normal things. I just want to be conformed to a usual standard of life and be a regular person and do typical things. I wonder about the people like Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. I wonder if Daniel came out of the lion's den. I wonder if his life was ever normal again. I wonder if it was ever normal from the time he left and he was taken captive to Babylon. I wonder if he ever had a normal life. I ever wonder, did he want a normal life? Was he just wondering, what is typical? I just want to do a typical thing. I just want to be a regular person. I wonder about Peter, who went from a fisherman to fisher of men. I wonder what he thought. What is his life? All of a sudden, something in his life transformed his life. His life was anything but normal, anything but conventional, anything but conforming to a usual standard of life and just being a regular person doing typical things. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want to be a normal person. I wonder about Mary and Joseph. From nobodies to the mother and the father of Jesus. And the things that, where that took them in life. I wonder if Mary ever wondered what normal was like. But these people had been chosen. And these people had been chosen to journey, to walk with God. These people had been chosen. And so normal was not likely in their life. They had said yes to God, and all of a sudden they weren't typical people anymore. They weren't doing typical things anymore. They had stepped out of the normal, out of the conventional, out of the regular person, out of the typical person, out of doing the regular things in life. They stepped out of that because they said yes to God. So I wrestled with that. Do I just want to be a normal person? Do I want to do typical things? But as being said, as we have said yes to God in our life, does that remove us from any desire to want to be normal, to think that life is going to be normal? I just want to be normal. I want to go back to normal. I just want to conform to a usual standard of life, be a regular person, and do typical things. I believe when you say yes to God, that's too late for that. I think saying yes to God, it's too late to think that we're ever going to be normal again. The normal life is not normal for the believer. Are you with me this morning? The normal life is not normal for the believer. It's too late. It's too late for you to be normal. It's too late. Because you said yes to God. And God is anything but normal. And he doesn't desire his kids to be normal. You said yes to God. Normal should not be in our vocabulary. I want things to be normal. It's too late. Ephesians chapter 1. A normal life is not normal for a believer. Ephesians chapter 1, it's on your paper this morning. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Ephesus, to the people, to the believers in Jesus Christ in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's talking to those that have said yes to God in their life. They have said, yes, God, yes, I want to follow. Yes, I want to receive. Yes, I've come to the foot of the cross. Yes, I have received your salvation. Yes, you've unlocked your love. The love of God has been unlocked by Jesus, and they have embraced that forgiveness. They have embraced that life, and they have embraced what God had for them. He's talking to those people. He's talking to many of us that have embraced Jesus in our lives and watched the love of God come alive in our life. That's who he's talking to. And then he goes back and he starts to unpack who you are in Christ. And I think he starts to eliminate any normalness in our lives. That if we're longing to be normal, we're never gonna make it. We're only going to be frustrated because we can't be normal. It's kind of, I always compare it to a beagle who has been trained to be a house dog. It just kind of drives them crazy. Because a beagle does not want to be a house dog. A beagle wants to be a rabbit dog. Because it's in him. Because that's what's in him. And he wants to hunt. And he wants to be out. He would rather have thorns in his feet than a pillow under his head. He wants to hunt. He's a beagle. He'll tear the paint right off of your truck trying to get in your doors. He'll chew apart your seats. He is one ferocious animal. I think that's why God made beagles so small. Because if they were any bigger, your truck wouldn't be safe. They want to hunt. And he's saying, that's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the beagles in the spiritual world. I'm talking about those who have said yes to Jesus. I'm talking about that. You're not house people. You're not normal. Don't long for normality or you'll be frustrated and you'll start chewing the inside of your car and you'll start ripping apart pillows and you'll start, because you're not geared for that anymore. You're not geared to be normal. So I've been on this journey. God, help me not want to be normal. I spent some time in the doctor's office this past week, and I found out that my temperature is 1 degree under normal. And they told me, you're a degree off. And I said, only if you knew how much I was off. Probably I'm more degrees off than that. But I'm not normal. I'm just not your typical person. Not because I'm Ed. It's because I'm Ed, a child of the Most High God. And he is the one who has made me abnormal. He is the one who said, don't long to be normal. Don't long for a normal life. You're not normal. You're more like Noah or Moses because you said yes to me. That's who he's talking about in Ephesians. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ in accordance with all his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So let me make a few statements this morning. And I'll get you out of here before your battery goes dead this morning. But I'm telling you, adopted as a child of the Most High God, and we think we can be normal? We think normal is a choice? You have received adoption papers from the Most High God, and all you want to do, and all I want to do, is to be normal. God says, that's never going to happen. You have been adopted into my family. I've received you as my daughter. I've received you as my son. when you said yes to Jesus and he unleashed God's love in your life, God himself signed the adoption papers for you to be his child. And you moved from where you were into the house of God, into the family of God. You moved from where you were into the family of God. Your adoption papers say, Ed Jelliff, God signed the bottom of it. He said, please don't long for normal, Ed, because I am not normal. And I don't want to do the normal in your life. I want to do the extra or normal, extra in your life. The out of this world stuff. I want to do the what will make a difference in this world. If you just long for to conform to the patterns of this world, you'll never know how powerful I am. Don't long to be conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't long for normality. Long for me. New lifers and visitors, long for God. Don't long for normality. Long for God. Because I don't know what the normal is anyway. And I don't know if our world will ever go back to normal. I don't know what our world will be. But I know what God will be. He is stationary. And he is real. And he is powerful. And he does not change or he does not waver. He is faithful, he is merciful, he is loving, he is gracious, he is just, and he is holy. He is not going away. Focus and long for God, not for normal. I just want to conform to the usual standards of life and be a regular person and do typical things. That's gone away. If that's my longing, I will drive myself crazy. Because I don't think I'll ever find it. But I can find God. And he goes on in the passing. We're going to skip down through. And I would like to take three car batteries dead this morning on these passages. But I'm not going to. In 7 and 8 it says this. In him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. He has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Being redeemed means that you have a new master. Being redeemed means you've been purchased. Being redeemed, it says, God not only adopted you, he purchased you. You got a new master in the house. You got a new father. You got a new dad. You got a new master. You're going to learn a new language. You're going to learn a new lifestyle, he said. You've been redeemed, purchased by the Most High God. And we think that normal is a choice. And listen, I'm just sharing what I've wrestled with the last couple of weeks. And I hear God saying, you've been purchased by me. You've got a new master. And all you can long for is normal. Long for me, he says. Long for me. If I could shake your world and let it shake a little bit. And you can see that I'm not the one shaking. Maybe you can long for me and not long for the world. And not long for what is normal. I do love those horns. I tell you, I'm getting everybody. if we ever get back inside, I'm getting those canned horns. I'm just going to hand them out. We're going to have a heyday inside. You have been purchased by the Most High God. And I think, and we think, that normal is a choice. We have been forgiven. It says you have been forgiven. Sin has lost its power in your life. It has lost its tight hold on us. We stand in victory. We have been set free by the Most High God. And we think normal is a choice. And as I was in my office just pondering that thought this week, that I have been set free. And all of a sudden I feel myself back in my chair with my eyes closed. And I feel the words, there's victory in Jesus, coming to my heart. And as I said last week, I can sing better in my truck when the muffler's not fully attached. But there I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. And he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. And then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Because there's victory in Jesus. He said, I have given you victory over sin. You stand free. You've been given victory over sin. And Ed, you think normal is what I want you to long for? Do you think I set you free from sin? and plunged you to victory at the foot of the cross so you can long for what is normal. Wake up, son, he says. Wake up, son. Long for me, not what is normal. And watch what I'll do in your life. Long for me. Because I can be found. You're not equipped to be looking for normal. You're equipped to be found for me. You're a spiritual beagle, Ed. Get out of the house and get hunting. Hunting for me, you'll find me. Stop chewing the pillow. And driving yourself crazy, trying to long for something. New lifers, stop. Stop trying to get normal. You ain't normal. And that's not because you're a new lifer. It's because you have new life. That you're not normal. You are not normal. You are not designed to be normal. Jesus didn't put you at the foot of the cross and break you free from the sin that's in your life so that you and I could be normal. He did it so we could be children of the Most High God. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, and how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me a victory. Because there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Wow. Not so I could be normal. So I could be free from sin. Adopted by the Most High God. In verse 7 and 8 again, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." We have the ability. We have the ability to grasp. We have divine wisdom and understanding poured out on us by the Most High God, and we think that normal is a choice. Really? God said, "I have poured out on you all wisdom and understanding. I have poured out on you divine wisdom and understanding. And Ed, all you can hope for is that you can be normal, that you can be just 98.6, that you can just be normal. You mean I'm pouring out that wisdom and understanding on you and you're hungry for normal? I want you to be hungry for me. Because I don't know if your world's ever going back to normal, but I know God is faithful and God will be found when we seek him. We were not designed. I know. I want to say this 1,000 times. We are not designed for normal. We are designed for God. Verse 9 of that same passage of Ephesians 1, it says this: "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ." We know his will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has unleashed his will in your life. And maybe we don't know the wisdom and understanding or the will of God as much as we want to because we're longing for normal and not for God. And we need to stop longing for normal and start longing for God and watch that wisdom and understanding and that will of God come into our lives. The divine will revealed to us by the Most High God, and we think normal is a choice. Man, God beat me up this week with that. He said, "You mean I did all that in your life and all you want to do is be able to go into the store without a mask on?" You know, God is all love and all gracious, but he's all justice too. And he'll call you on the carpet just like anybody else will call you on the carpet. Are you longing for me? Verse 13 says this, and we got to get moving here. In verse 13 it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise, the Holy Spirit." You have received the Holy Spirit. I don't give you the Holy Spirit so you can be more normal. I give you the Holy Spirit so you can be abnormal, so you can be above normal, so you can seek more than just what is normal in this world. You have the Holy Spirit. He guides and He comforts and He empowers and He teaches and He reminds and He enables. And all of a sudden you start seeing from Galatians 5 and 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. He said it's not normal. It's not normal for that to be produced in your life. And all of a sudden, you start to producing a new fruit in your life. And it doesn't feel normal. Let it go. He said, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not fear. It's not fear. We are not fear-filled people. We are fearless people. When you start producing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, so that's going to be produced in your life, but not if you're longing for normal. You got to long for God. Can I say it again? I don't know where our world's going. If you'd asked me 6 weeks ago if we'd be here today, I probably wouldn't have believed it. And I don't know where we're going to be in 6 weeks from now, but I know where God's going to be, the same place He is today, on the throne room. And full control of all that He created. And Jesus is at His right hand interceding for you and me. And Jesus loves me. This I know. For the cross tells me so. Given the Holy Spirit by the Most High God, and we think, and Ed, you think that normal is a choice. What is wrong with you? Stop longing for normal and start longing for God. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in verse 18 through 20. May be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called. He has called you. The riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparable great power for us who believe. The power like the working of His mighty strength when He exerted it in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The same power that conquered the grave, He says, lives in you. And you want normal? Ed, what is wrong with you? Long for me, not normality. Given divine power by the Most High God, and I think that normal is a choice. What is wrong with me? Flipping to chapter 2, just for a few more moments this morning. Verses 4 and 5, just pick this up here. It says, but because of His great power, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even though we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. We have been given life. We have been given life by the love of God. It said you were dead in your transgressions. But when I plunge you to victory underneath that cross, I give you life. I didn't come to make bad people good. I came to make dead people live. And you are alive, and you are alive today, and you are alive. And God has given you life, not so you can seek normal, not so I can seek normal, but so I can seek Him. Continuing in that chapter 2 passage, it says this in verses 6 and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might show His incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness in us through Christ. We have been raised up with Christ. You have been raised up with Christ. You no longer are just human. You have been raised up with Christ. You no longer just a human. One of my least favorite statements in all of the church says, I'm only human. No, you ain't. You are a temple of the Most High God. You have been raised up with Christ. You have been given life. You have adoption papers from God Himself. He has given you His power so that you can produce fruit that you can't produce on your own. He did not do all that so you and I could seek normal and be fearful. He did all that so we could know Him and walk with Him and change this world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here on your sermon outline, every blank on the sermon outline has one word that you fill it in with. I, capital I, not E-Y-E, I, just an I. I made it real easy. You can even spell that real easily. Every blank that's on your paper gets filled in with I. So here we go. Here's the statements that makes you abnormal, that doesn't allow you to hunger, or doesn't allow you to be filled by normal. Listen, you can seek it, but you'll never be filled by normal. Because it's too late for you. Because God's done a work in your life already. And He says you're never going to be satisfied with normal. Because you're not geared for normal. Because I am adopted. Because I am purchased. Because I am free. I am forgiven. I am saturated with the divine will, the wisdom. I am soaked with God's understanding. I have knowledge of God's will. I am a receiver of the Holy Spirit. I am drenched with God's great power. I have been made alive, and I have been raised up and seated with Christ. And the best I can do is seek normal. No! Long for God, new life. Long for God, Ed. Long for God, world. Long for God. Our world is shaken, but our God is not. And if our God is not, then His people should not have to be if we're seeking Him. Or we can be wise. We can be wise. I'm not looking for foolishness. I'm looking for fearlessness. And I don't think God is looking for us to be foolish. He's looking for us to be fearless. And He's looking for us to seek Him and not seek normal. Have all this and have a desire for normal. It does not mix. We will drive ourselves crazy. We are not given all of this. We are not giving all of this. Just the tip of the iceberg that we went through in Ephesians this morning. We are not given all this so I can settle down and seek the American dream. I give this so I can be a kingdom person. So I can be a child of the Most High God. So I can know what His power is like. So I can feel the forgiveness. So I can be not foolish, but I can be fearless in this world. Carrying the message of God into this world. Carrying His grace and His love and His mercy into this world. So that people can know that God is real. So people can know that God loves them. God didn't do all that so you and I could seek normal. He did all that so we could seek Him. And we could walk in this world in strength. We often read 8 and 9. But when you read 8 and 9 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, when you read that 8, 9, and 10, when you start to read that with all the rest that we've read this morning, it says this: for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's by grace. You didn't earn any of this. I've given you all of this. You did not earn one piece of this. I've given it to you all. The forgiveness, the adoption, the power, the Holy Spirit, it all hasn't cost you a dime. But I didn't do it so you could seek normal. I did it so you could seek me. I did it so you could know who I am. I did it that you would know that there's the greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship. No kidding. Wow. That's the understatement of the Bible, I think. God says, I have workmanship. That's the workmanship is the same word that we get in our English word, poem. You are God's rhyme. You are God's put it together, for you make sense. God puts you together. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. God-ordained works are not normal works. He said, I did that. It didn't cost you a dime. But I did that so you could do the works which I have prepared in advance for you to do. Not to be foolish, but to be fearless. God-ordained works are cosmic, ordained. They make cosmic differences. God said, they're not normal works. I don't ordain normal works. I ordain God works are not normal. God ordained works have cosmic consequences. And Titus 2:14 says, he who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify his for himself a people that are eager, that his very own, eager to do what is good. Not only am I God's workmanship, and not only have I been created to do good works, he said, I want you to be eager, he says, to do them. Are you eager to do them? Am I longing to do them? Titus says, I want you to be eager, Titus. Paul is saying, be eager to do the good works which God has prepared for you to do. They're God's works. Are you eager? And look what he says in Titus later on. This is a trustworthy statement. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Devoted, eager and devoted. These good works that have cosmic consequences. God says, I want you to do them. I didn't plunge you to victory beneath the cross so you could seek normal. I did so you could seek me and you could know the good works which I have prepared in advance for you to do. You might want to run your windshield wipers here in the front row. I'm spreading something all over here this morning. You can't see it, but the front row guy here is running his windshield wipers, so. 2 Corinthians 9:8, look what he says. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, in all times, and April 19th of 2020, in the midst of the corona, whatever it is, and all this garbage that's going on, in all things, in all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Woo! He said, are you eager? I've equipped you. I've given you everything you need. I've made you my poem. I made you my workmanship. I've given you good works. Are you eager to do them? Be devoted to them. You want to abound in God's works. We can't abound in God's good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do, if I'm seeking normal and not seeking God. Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that I may see your good work, that they may see your good works and deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Wow, what are these good works? What are these good works that God has done all this that has not cost you a dime? But all that has put you together, so you're his workmanship, and he has created good works for you to do. And he wants you to be eager, Ed. He wants you to be eager, New Lifers. He wants you to be eager, people of God in our midst. He wants you to be eager to do his good works. He wants you to be devoted to doing his good works. He wants you to abound in good works. He wants you just to blossom with good works. And he wants our good works to be seen before men so that they can glorify God, so they can see that God is real in our world, no matter what else is going on. So I write this question on my notes here. It says, what are those good works? And maybe they're a smile and maybe they're a hug. You know what drives me the most crazy thing about a mask? Is I can't smile at people anymore. You've got to be kidding me. Maybe it is just a smile. Maybe it is a hug and maybe it's a word. And maybe it's meeting a need of somebody, and maybe it's sharing the gospel, and maybe it's walking with someone through some hard times in their life, and maybe it's caring for people, maybe it's caring for our planet, maybe some of those things are our good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. I also think there are some that of you that have healing in your hands. And I think when you seek God, you're going to find out that there's healing in your hands. Literal healing. I think the blind are going to see. And I think the lame will walk. And I think the cancers will run. Because people are seeking God. And some of those good works, some of those good works are going to be in your hands of healing. And you're going to lay hands on people. And you're going to heal people. But not if we're seeking normal. Only if we're seeking God. So I started to make a list. I got, is it a smile or is it healing? Is it a hug or is it a prophetic word? Because some of you, I think, hear from God directly. And I think you have a word. I think you have a prophetic word for individuals and groups of people. And I think that's part of the good works that God wants to do in our lives. But not if we're seeking normal. Only if we're seeking God. And I think some of you here have discerning abilities that will expose strongholds in our lives. I think you have the gift of discernment between the spirits. I think some have the ability to heal from your hands and the prophetic words from your soul. And I think some of us, the good works are going to be faith, that you will be the first ones out of the boat. Because God is doing a work in our life. I like preaching out here because I get an echo off that mountain over there. I hear God. This is pretty cool. But God is doing, and he says, I want to do this good work. I want to unleash these good works. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what those good works are. I'm not sure if it's a prophetic word, if it's a hand of healing. I'm not sure if it's a jug of milk to your neighbor. I'm not sure if it's a text to someone that's struggling. I don't know if it's a phone call to someone else. I don't know what those good works, all those good works, because he's always working. And he works through you and me. Because he did all this beneath the cross. So he can reconcile a people for himself so that they can be eager and devoted and abounding in good works, that their good works might be shining before men so other people can know that God is real. So I'm asking you to pray along with me, and I have written prayers, and I have prayers that are just impromptu prayers in my life, and then I have prayers that God has given me, and I write them in my book. And I go back and I visit those, and I visited the disciple prayer the other day, and some of you know I posted on Facebook the other day my prayer from Ephesians, my longing for knowing more of God's love. And I write out those prayers, and I go back and I revisit those prayers at times. Here's a brand new one that I'm writing in my book. And all the blanks are just an I again. But would you pray this with me this coming week? Because I don't know what the good works are. But I want to seek God, not normal. And I want to pray this, Lord, I know that I am your workmanship, created to do good works. I am eager to do them. I am devoted into doing them. I want to abound in them, and I want to cause people to see you through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Then watch what God does in our life. Watch what he does. And watch how he unleashes himself in our lives. And watch how we share the gospel, or we touch somebody with a healing hand, or we call somebody, or we buy a jug of milk for someone. And all of a sudden, God's being glorified among us and through us, and the glory of the Lord is rising from among us. New lifers and visitors today. The guy on the trailer. Stop seeking normal. Start seeking God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, normal, it's too late for you to be normal. Stop driving yourself crazy. I'm just going to ask, and I'm going to pray here in just half a minute, and I'm going to say, have a great day, and you're going to start up your vehicles if they'll start. You're going to start up your vehicles, and you're going to drive out of here. But I'm asking us all, would you pray this prayer with me for the next week or two, at least? Seeking God, asking God what you want me to do. Not running in fear, becoming fearless men and women of God. Let me pray this morning. God, once again, I say thank you for this morning, and I thank you for the words that you have given us this morning. I thank you for Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and maybe they were having some same situation. And maybe Paul had to remind them that, listen, whoa, you're not normal. Stop seeking it. You've been adopted. You've been given power. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've got God's divine will. You have understanding that other people don't have. You have wisdom that this world does not have. As a matter of fact, you're my workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which I have prepared in advance for you to do. Will you be eager to do them? Will you be devoted to doing them? Will you abound in them? Because they will cause people to see God. So God, I don't know whether it's just a smile or a powerful smile or a jug of milk or a prophetic word or a healing that comes through somebody's hands because they've been seeking you. God, I don't know if it's walking with somebody, even if it has to be through phone conversations and texts and messages through a rough spot in their life. God, I don't know if it's ordering pizza and having it delivered to someone else's house. Or I don't know if it's the faith that will cause someone to take the first step out of the boat in a situation. But Father, I know that I'm no longer going to seek normal. I'm going to spend my efforts seeking you, God. And watch what you do in our lives. Father, I thank you. And it's in the name of Jesus that I can even pray this prayer. And Jesus, so I know that you're there next to the Father and you're interpreting all of this. So I'm asking for you to release it, Father, into the Spirit, into each one of us. And make us so alive that if we seek normal, we'll end up chewing our own pillows. But when we seek God, we'll know what you're doing in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.